talk to you about in Acts chapter 26. Anybody got your Bible this morning? Man, raise your Bible up. Everybody's got your Bible. Yeah, thank you. It's good. This is the life right here. Take it and read it and let it become part of you. Who we are is in this word here. Acts chapter 26, verse 2. Paul made just an amazing statement in this verse. He was before King Agrippa. He had been in prison for 2 years. He was in chains. And he came before, and he was locked up for something. They didn't have any accusations against him that would hold water. And he comes before King Agrippa, and he makes a statement. He says, "I think myself happy. I think myself happy." Which begs the question, can you think yourself happy? Can you think yourself to happiness? Pretty good question. I was telling Josh, our worship leader, I was telling him about the sermon, and he has something to interject. He said, money doesn't make you happy, but you can buy ice cream with money, and that's as close as you'll get. True. I can't argue with that. There's a lady, she was from Philadelphia. She's in the city and everything. She was tired of city life, and she just wanted to get away. So she went to the Guadalupes, and she found a dude ranch, and they were going to go for a ride, a horseback ride. And the cowboy asked her, he said, we got a nice gentle horse for you. He says, what kind of saddle do you want, English saddle or Western saddle? And she said, well, what's the difference? And he said, well, a Western saddle has a horn on it, a saddle horn. And she looked disgusted. She said, if the traffic's so thick up in this mountain that you got to have a horn on your saddle, I don't even think I want to go riding. Whoever said ignorance is bliss probably hadn't met that lady. Acts chapter 26, verse 1. Listen to this. By the way, we have our friend from Nineveh Baptist Church, Pastor Warren, here. We're so glad to have you today. Bless you. Thank you. It's always an honor to have other pastors come visit. Acts chapter 26. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, You are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things for which I am accused by the Jews. The shocking admission to King Agrippa, I'm sure that this shocked the king, said, I think myself happy. This was just an introduction of a speech that Paul was getting ready to make. But Paul had lately been in prison for 2 years. He was walking around in chains like a criminal, though he'd done nothing. And he had the audacity to say, I think myself happy today. This is the same Paul. This is the same Paul who had been scourged 5 times by the Jews, 3 times beaten with rods, 1 stoned, 3 times shipwrecked. And these don't include the hate, the threats, the riots he often experiences, or the beatings received from the Roman government, such severe beatings that he and Silas got at Philippi, you remember. Despite the horrible treatment and the betrayals Paul experienced, he could still say, I think myself happy.
Here's a little song I wrote. I want to sing it note for note, don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Worry, in case you didn't know, is still a sin. You know why God says worrying is a sin? It's because it's not the good that God has for you. Be happy. Find yourself happy. Figure out to think yourself happy. When my kids were smaller, it was interesting because when they would get in trouble or they would start getting after each other and we would discipline them and we would say, now, and we after we'd whip them or something, we did that back then. We still believe in old school stuff. You spare the rod, you spoil the child, and there's a lot of spoiled kids around. I wonder why. I didn't say abuse. I said, so we give them time to quit crying, and then we say, you need to put on a happy face. Well, it's not always easy to do that when you know. So because happiness is really more of a choice than it is anything else. So when we tell them to put a happy face on, they would do this. They would go. Then we'd have the audacity to say, it has to be from your heart. Then they would really try to make it come from their heart. Because really, the choices that we make, we can choose to be content with who we are in Christ, or we can walk around like we've been baptized in pickle juice, miserable individuals. You're still a Christian. You're going to make it heaven, but it's going to be a life of misery along the way because you don't know how to give God your emotions. So what is happiness? Can you think yourself happy? Happy. Define is feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. Happiness, from our definition, depends on what happens. That's why we call it happiness, because it depends on what happens. If your day is good, you're happy. If your day is not good, you're unhappy. And the roller coaster of happiness and unhappiness comes, and too many times we look to the wrong places to find our happiness. And if it's a good day, we're happy. If it's not, we're unhappy. If you put your trust in happiness, then you're going to be a victim of your circumstances because they will change. Yes. You see, God never changes. The Bible tells us to rejoice. The Bible doesn't tell us to rejoice in all circumstances. It says to give thanks in everything, but not for everything. You give thanks in your situation because we know that the God that we serve is going to take us through our situation and not leave us in it. Yes. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, in case you didn't hear me the first time, I say rejoice. It doesn't say to rejoice in your circumstances. It says to rejoice in the Lord. And I would submit to you that in the middle of your circumstances, if you will rejoice in the Lord, your circumstances will change for the better. That's good preaching. It's good preaching. It's not the things of this world that make you happy. The man who thinks the first $1 million will make him happy won't be happy with a second $1 million. Because money can change your circumstances, but it can't change your heart. Let me say that again. Money can change your circumstances, but money can't change your heart. That's the reason, well, I won't go into that. Some people crave power, others pleasure. Solomon discovered this. He says, if anyone should have been happy, you would have thought that it was Solomon. Ecclesiastes 1:2, it says, all is vanity. In other words, disappointing misery. What didn't work in Solomon's life? You remember, Solomon prayed to God, the most powerful king there ever was, for wisdom and knowledge. But he had wisdom and knowledge, but wisdom and knowledge didn't make him happy. You can have a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge, but that won't make you happy. Wine didn't make him happy. Ecclesiastes 2:3. You can't find happiness in the bottom of a bottle. Business and success didn't make him happy. Ecclesiastes 2:4. Wealth didn't make him happy. 2:7. He had more gold than anybody could ever imagine. Relationships didn't make him happy. He had a jillion wives. Give or take a few. Well, he said in verse 10, he said, "What I had whatever my eyes desired." Everybody has had some things that your eyes desired, but those things will not bring you happiness. Amen. They might bring you happiness. And I want to say this: it says that sin will bring you pleasure for a season. But how many knows that at the end of the season, it's a miserable existence? Sin will never bring contentment or peace to your life. But you might have fun for a minute, and then after that minute, there's consequences. And if you don't believe that, go to Huntsville and talk to everybody in prison. Yeah. Guy came up to a guy, he was a very successful businessman, and he was telling his troubles to this man, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I'd give $1,000 to anybody who could take me somewhere where people have no problems." He said, "I got troubles at work, troubles at home, troubles in my society life." So the guy flagged down a taxi and he gave the cab driver an address. He said, "Okay, I'm taking you someplace where they don't have no troubles. Anybody ahead of me yet?" They arrived at a cemetery. The only people in this fallen world who don't have troubles are in the cemeteries. And he asked that guy, he says, "Is this where you want to live or die, I mean?" The man said, "No, then thank God you're alive and accept your troubles as a part of life. God will give you the strength to rise above your troubles if you depend on him." But in him is life. You want to live life, it's in him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back in the same manner as you see me go away." He said, "I have not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for" who? "Those that love him." Your job as a born-again believer is simply to love Jesus. He'll take care of everything else. Because when you love Jesus, you won't want to disappoint him with the thing called sin. When you love Jesus, you're going to want to live for him. You won't do it because you have to. You'll do it because you want to. I could preach about that a lot, but I'm not going to. So we need to master our thoughts. Really, it's all about our perspective. Americans are really the most privileged and prosperous people who have ever lived on the face of this earth. And yet many Americans are not really happy. Life expectancy has almost doubled. The average per capita income has more than doubled since 1960. Price of food and durable goods remains stable. Our standard of living has risen to levels our grandparents could have never imagined. The percentage of Americans and Europeans who suffer bouts of depression has climbed by 25%. We've had all of these blessings, and because of those blessings, no, I don't know if it's because of them, but why is depression on a rise when everything else seems to be so perfect? Have you heard this? "I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet." We need to be thankful for all the things that we do have and stop coveting things that we don't have. The secret contentment is found in 1 Timothy 6:6. godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment, and it lends and it tends to make the statement that you can actually be godly without contentment. Because it says godliness with contentment is great gain. Not godliness without contentment. Does anybody, don't raise your hand. Does anybody know anybody that they are born again Christians, but they are not content and they're not happy either? They look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. They're negative Nancy, negative Ned, instead of positive Pete and positive Priscilla. God wants somebody. He's looking around for somebody who will wake up and understand that following Christ is a blessing. Following Christ, God will bring peace to us. And God expects if anybody ought to be the most happy people in the world, it ought to be born again believers, because you get to have the presence of God in your life. You have a one-on-one relationship with your Creator, the most powerful God that there you could ever imagine. You have access to Him. We got something to be happy about, and we really need to start acting like it. Amen. We really do. Paul had a choice. He chose to be positive. Paul could have focused on the negative aspects of his life, but he didn't. We have the same choice. We can have a negative outlook or we can have a positive outlook. Isn't it interesting that two different people can look at the same set of circumstances and see two completely different things? You can be in the same situation. I got to tell you this. I don't know if I don't have time, but I'm going to anyway. I just thought about this. The twin boys, identical twins. One was a pessimist. One was an optimist. So the mama took him into the psychologist to let her tell him what the problem was. So the psychologist put the one twin in a room full of toys, and the one that was the pessimist in a room full of toys, and they put the optimist in a room full of horse manure. Yeah. They left him there for about an hour, and they came back, and the pessimist, he was sitting in the corner crying, and the psychologist said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Well, I was afraid I pinched my finger on the little plastic truck, and I didn't want to go down the slide because I was afraid of falling." Psychologist said, "Man, he's got a problem." So they went over to the guy over the in the little boy in the horse manure, and he had horse manure all over him. He's just playing and laughing, and his mama went in there and shook him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "With all this horse manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." I'd have told that in the first service if I thought it had gone over so good. Isn't it true, though? Isn't it true? It's really about our perspective. If you could only see God, if you could only see yourself from God's perspective, you would stop running yourself down. You would stop being negative about yourself. Listen, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got pimples. Everybody's got a little cellulite here and there. Listen, let it go. Let it go and be content with who you are in Christ. I mean that. I can't believe I said that. We can interpret life's difficulties as if life is against us, or we can look at the same events and see a God who is fully in control. Now, have you ever heard some people, they always say, "Well, God's in control." It's kind of like, God's in control. Well, let me tell you something. God is ultimately in control. But he's not in control of you unless you let him be in control of you.
Amen.
Too many times we have bad things happen to us because of choices that we've made. And then when we make those choices, it's like, oh, why God let me down? He didn't let you down. You let yourself down because you made a bad choice. Let's stop blaming God for what we mess up. And start honoring him for the blessings that he has. If you're taking a deep breath of air right now, it's God's air, and you need to be thankful that God lets you breathe his air. So the battle, where's the battlefield? It's in your mind. The battlefield that you fight is in your mind. It says, Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Did you know that you could think in your heart? It says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So what happens is we bring things in through our perspective, through our senses, and it comes through the senses of our brain, and we allow it to get into our heart. And too many times, whenever we allow way too many things to get into our heart that doesn't need to be there. The negative things that come into our life, we need to cast down, listen to this, cast down every evil imagination. Amen. Is it only me, or do you sometimes let your imagination take you places that you don't need to go? Sometimes I do that. You know what I do? I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you what I do. It might help you. Sometimes when my mind takes off, sometimes I will say it out loud, Randy, shut up. Sometimes we just need to tell our brain, I am not going there. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave his life for me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can run through a troop. I can jump over a wall. I can do what God has created me to do because he has empowered me to do what he's made me to do. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not the things that we can see. It says, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments. Do you like to fight? Let's cast them down. If you're just an arguing person, I just got two words for you. Stop it. Save a little counseling there. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul says we have to take every thought. Everybody say every thought. In the Greek, that means every thought. So what we need to do is replace our stinking thinking with God's thoughts. Amen. We entertain way too much stinking thinking. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. When you put peace into practice, the God of peace will be with you. You go, well, God isn't with me. Yeah. Put this into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. When we practice edifying each other, building each other up in the most holy faith instead of tearing each other down. Because when you sow seeds of tearing others down, you will reap seeds of being torn down. You say, I'm just tired of the way people talk to me. Maybe you need to start talking to other people kindly, and they'll start talking to you kindly, because we always reap what we sow. I'm glad you come to church today. So we need to reject what's not from God. The thoughts that are depressing, discouraging, they're not from God. Doubts, not from God. Unforgiveness, not from God. Critical, being critical of other people. Some people think they have a gift of criticism. That's not from God. Being prideful, it's not from God. Being impure, greedy, it's not from God. Being violent, that's not from God, unless you're in war or you're protecting yourself or your family. Then you can protect yourself. Instead, Paul tells us to focus on everything that is good and encouraging, what builds us up spiritually, what makes us more like Jesus, that gives us joy in the Spirit. Think of how good God is. Bless the Lord, Psalm 103:2. I love this. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits. Don't forget the great things that God's done for you. You can focus on the things that tear you up, or you can focus on the things that's been a blessing to you. It's your choice. Who redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. I'm jumping on that. Your youth is renewed like an eagle. How many old people like to have that? Okay, good. I'm with you, buddy. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. You say, thank you, Jesus. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He doesn't give you what you deserve. He gives you what you need. That's forgiveness, so we can give it to other people. Nor punishes us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Blessed. In Psalm 118, it says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice because he has made me glad. There's a reason we sing that every Sunday morning. We call it our call to worship, because really every day is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Now, the question is, what will you make out of your day? Will you rejoice and be glad in it? Will you give thanks for God is good? Do you know that he is a good, good God? We sang about he's a good, good God. And in case you didn't get it the first time, he's a good, 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 good God. Good God, God. Had dyslexia for a second. Says mercies are new every morning. Thankful for that. Little boys on an airplane, and they were experiencing violent turbulence, and the plane was going up and down and all over the place, and the lady sitting next to the boy was terrified, and she couldn't understand why the little boy was happy, and he's playing with his toys and act like nothing was going on. It kind of got irritating to her, and she said, little boy, would you please stop it? Stop having so much fun. Can't you tell that we're having problems with this plane, and we're going through this? And the little boy put his hand on the lady's hand, and he said, lady, my dad's the pilot. See, when you go through turbulence and your daddy's the pilot, you don't worry. You just be happy. Amen. When you trust your daddy, when you trust your heavenly Father, yeah, there is sin in this world. In this world, we will have trouble. Yes, there's going to be problems in this world, but God said he would take us through, not leave us in our problems. So, if you're a child of God, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. Amen. Because God is greater. So question for you, if your house was robbed and burned, would you still have joy? Well, if you got your joy from your house, you wouldn't have joy. Something to think about. If your joy comes from God, your circumstances wouldn't rule your heart. Amen. The Bible never says, rejoice in your house always. Doesn't say rejoice in your horse. Doesn't say rejoice in your car. It doesn't say rejoice in your jewelry. And again, I say rejoice in your jewelry. Doesn't say rejoice in your looks because you're pretty. Doesn't say rejoice in another person. It says rejoice in the Lord. And again, in case you didn't hear me the first time, I say rejoice. All of mine and Darla's life, it's been an interesting, 29 years. Next year, we're on our 30th anniversary. We're all excited about that because we're actually going to do something. But we bought and sold houses all of our life. And I tell people we made a living preaching, but got ahead buying and selling places. And I'm a recovering horse trader. I'm a cowboy. I just when I see a good horse, I'm like, I try not to covet it, but I don't mind trading around a little bit. We're selling. This is side note, but we're selling the place that we're at right now, and we're getting ready to move to another place. And we're praying that this will be the last move we ever have to make. We're like, I hope this is it. I'm not going to make any declarations, but I'm hoping. But I've never found satisfaction in 18 or 20 houses that we've lived at. I've never found satisfaction in those houses. I've never found satisfaction with my horses. I tend to have a tendency to kind of look over the fence. I'll say this about my God. He has never failed me. I have never really ever been tempted to look anywhere else but to God. Because only, there's a song, Johnny. Say, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy. He'll give you heaven too. So come to Jesus, for only He can satisfy your soul. Oh, only Jesus. I love this song. It's a cool song. But only Jesus. Only Jesus. Please, please get a hold of this. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Please stop looking to things and for things to do for you what will never happen. Yeah, money can buy an ice cream, but only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We feel your strong presence, Holy Spirit, right now. We as a church give you permission to do surgery. Lord, I pray that you would take out this thinking, oh God, that things can make us happy or that things can bring contentment. Bless your people, I pray. Lord, may your word sink into us. May it marinate in us today. And as we go through this week, that we would, as Paul, we would think ourselves happy and have the discipline to go there instead of all of the negative things that have happened to us and dwelling on those. We thank you for it. I'd like to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said this. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open, I'll come in and be with them." Jesus said this. There's only one name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. Salvation for your life. In other words, if the your soul salvation only comes through the God that overcame death and the grave. That's the reason that Christianity is the one true religion, because nobody else came up from the grave. Not one person, only Jesus. So this morning, if you've never invited him to come into your heart, or maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life." Slip your hand up high. Anybody? "Preacher, that's me." Slip your hand up high. Anybody? You want to put a Bible in your hand? We don't want to miss anybody. Thank you. Thank you. It's a good day. My goodness, what a good word. What a good word. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? In preparation of this sermon, I know that there are those out there who need to adjust your thinking. It's easy for me sometimes to become negative about situations, especially when I get tired or when I get weary, or I'm like, but it's those times whenever we need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. But I got a question for you. How many of you say, "Preacher, my thinking needs to be adjusted and come into more alignment with God's word"? Raise your hand. "Preacher, I need that. My thinking needs alignment." Amen. Now raise your other hand, because I want to pray for you. And everybody that didn't raise your hand, you can raise your hand too and pray for everybody that's got their hand up. Lord, we give our lives to you. I thank you, Lord, as you can see every hand that has this up, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we surrender to you, to your word, to your will, that take us down to the water, Lord, and help us to go deep with you, oh God. And Lord, that we would depend on you for the breath of life. We thank you, Lord, for everybody. I pray, Lord, that you would, everybody repeat after me. Say, "Holy Spirit, I give you permission to convict me of my thinking, of my words. Now, Lord Jesus, help me to be positive and honoring with my thoughts, with my words, and with my deeds. I will give you glory, and I will give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen." God bless y'all. We love you. Our prayer team's up here. If you need special prayer, love to have you. Thank you so much for coming today.